This is Mike the Birdman Dodd here, and I'm here to tell you about a great online store that I use for all my clothing needs. That's BigAndTallMart.com. Fantastic selection of big and tall sizes for all occasions and all budgets. BigAndTallMart.com is a store that I trust to put me in the most comfortable and stylish clothes for all my outings. From casual and workwear to all kinds of formal wear for all occasions, this store has it all. Big and Tall Mart also carries a large selection of printed novelty tees, and trust me when I say they have a very large selection. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to get 10% off orders of $50 or more. Visit BigAndTallMart.com for a great shopping experience for all your big and tall clothing needs.
Hello and welcome to the long-awaited, always anticipated Review-O-Rama with Mrs. Birdman.
I'm Mike.
Don't sound so enthused, baby.
See, I've always wanted to do it just like Scott. Like, I was given this epic intro. Who are you? Scott. So, I just thought I'd try that today. It doesn't suit me.
You're an ass.
Pretty much. So, yeah, we are back on Review-O-Rama. It's Black Friday weekend, so probably still a few deals to be had between now and Cyber Monday.
I wish we had more money.
You spend all of me money. That's not to say we didn't get some good deals today, though.
We did get a few deals. I really needed pants.
I really needed the James Bond Blu-ray collection.
You suck.
Hey, better than paying $300 when it first came out, like Dave.
And tell him what you tried to do, though.
I tried to rip off Future Shop because Amazon.com had it for $100. Amazon.ca had it for $120. So I ended up saving about $25 anyway, I guess, given because there was always the price match 10% anyway. So I saved about $25.
For those Americans down there, you don't know how lucky you are with Amazon.com. Amazon.ca kind of blows.
It depends on what it is, though. It really heavily does. I mean, I've seen some good stuff on Amazon.ca that .com didn't get. But it is rare.
Very rare.
So, what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about Call of Duty Ghosts from Activision, Doctor Who Limited Edition. That's my day today. Doctor Who Limited Edition gift set with Sonic Screwdriver from BBC America, Revolution Season 1 from Warner Brothers, Star Trek Season 5 from Paramount, Camp Crystal Lake Memories from 1428 Films, and last but certainly not least, Man of Steel from Warner Brothers.
I probably should have added that Star Trek The Next Generation Season 5, because the original series only ran 3, but that's more my fault than anything.
Well, you know me. You guys know me in Star Trek. I wouldn't know the frickin' difference.
Although, well, I guess we'll talk about that when we get to it. So, our GameAccess.ca. Don't forget to buy or rent your video games from Canada's online video game rental service. Use promo code TWIG to get an extra 5 days added to your free service. You gotta admit, that's pretty badass. Can you tell that's rehearsed? So, Call of Duty Ghosts.
Let the rant begin.
Where in the hell do I start with this? Okay, first off, it's Call of Duty. You shoot things. You shoot many things. Well, okay, in a nutshell, the story is America has fallen on hard times, and basically they've been taken over by the South Americans. A very interesting idea, actually. I really think it's probably one of the freshest ideas the franchise has had in a while. And the South Americans have taken control of the Odin space station. So kind of like a mix of G.I. Joe's Cobra and their weapon at the end of Retaliation. And basically America's not in a good place. So it's kind of a father and family story about like a father and his two sons. They're trying to fight back against these guys. There's a traitor named Rourke who was this part of this unit called Ghosts, which evidently are the ultimate badasses, and then it just gets friggin' stupid. Honestly, the biggest problem I have with this game is the single-player campaign, and I know, I'm looking at you, Handsome Tom, who says, you don't play Call of Duty for the single-player. Well, you know what? I'm part of that very small minority that does. I'm also part of the small minority that looks forward to this game every year because of the single-player campaign. And the last couple years, I have been disappointed. This year is certainly no different. Honestly, I cared more about, frankly, the fucking dog than I did anything that walked on two legs in this game. In fact, there is a mission where you have to carry the dog to safety. Thank you for wrecking my studio. But no, you have to carry the dog to safety, and before you can shoot your gun, you have to put the dog down. Not, like, blow his head off like Old Yeller, but set the dog down to pick up your machine gun.
Interesting.
But it's ultimately a very forgettable campaign. The multiplayer, though, it's still fun. It's COD. I'm certainly not the most qualified person on the planet to talk about Call of Duty multiplayer and how many hits does it take? Is this gun better than this? What's the draw? I don't know. I'm not that good. However, that being said, I did have some fun with multiplayer. I did buy the Prestige Edition, which I don't think is really worth it. The camera, it's okay.
I haven't even seen you really play with it yet, but you were excited for it.
I really was, because it's a wearable camera. Like, you could, there's, like, accessory rails. Like, you could put this on the end of, like an airsoft gun, or you can mount it to a helmet.
Is it, like, GoPro type?
Kind of, but it's like a fisheye lens or something. I don't know. It's not what I expected, and certainly not worth what I paid for it. Although you do get a 4 gig memory card with it, which is kind of nice. But ultimately, it's, if you like COD, you'll probably like this. Ultimately, I'd say it's worth a rental at least. But since I do a lot of buy and selling, which you can do at GameAccess.ca, I see a lot of these flooding the secondary market. So I don't see this game being as hot as I think they wanted it to be, which is kind of unfortunate because I was really, really looking forward to this year's installment. Sadly enough, when I say this, maybe next year's will be better. It's like Madden. They just keep pumping them out. So
Wishful thinking. Oh, and they had that that special on at Future Shop where you could trade in. How many games did you have to trade in?
One.
Was it one game or two games?
And maybe then it was two games. Yeah, it could be two any games. And I don't know why Activision and Future Shop did this, but I guess probably from a retail level, there's probably some voodoo math that I don't understand, and neither do you.
For our friends in the States, tell them exactly what the Canadian deal was.
Okay, so for those of you, this was a couple weeks back. Future Shop and Best Buy had a deal where you could trade any two games to get Call of Duty Ghosts, Battlefield 4, or Assassin's Creed 4 on Xbox 360, PS3, or Wii U. And a lot of people would trade in like Xbox Live Arcade and Madden 07. To get these games, and I deal a lot in buy and sell groups, because that's how I collect some of my like older games, and tons of them, tons upon tons. You could virtually build a stool out of Call of Duty Ghosts right now. However, though, if you are going to get this game, I might recommend the Xbox One version. It is, I think, it runs better than any of the other ones. And Xbox Live servers generally are just better all around for really multiplayer. That's where a lot of the competitive community goes. So that's my recommendation. If you're going to get this game and nothing's going to stop you, Xbox One. Otherwise, get it for a week or two. Play the crap out of it. Get your things. Or get it, enjoy your multiplayer matches, and forget about the single player entirely.
Unless you really like the dog.
Unless you really like the dog. Moving on.
That's the quality we bring to you here at This Week in Geek.
That's right. If you care about the dog.
Now, to something that brought my lovely husband to tears.
Yeah, not even kidding. BBC America sent us the Doctor Who limited edition gift set with the Sonic Screwdriver remote control. I totally didn't know what to expect. This literally came in. My wife brought me lunch and this, and it came down the stairs. And it was this box, this huge, giant box. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I opened it up, and I literally had tears in my eyes. I did not expect this to come to us to review and use for research.
All I heard from the other room was, oh!
Yeah, I was totally floored by this. And the reason I was, because this is the first time the first two seasons, maybe even the third season, have been available on Blu-ray. which is rather nice. And this is everything new Who. So from the 2005 series with Chris Eccleston, all the way up to the end of Series 7 with Matt Smith, just before the Day of the Doctor. It would have been nice had they waited like a week and had this release with Day of the Doctor, but they're probably doing this because of the 50th.
Exactly.
Which is kind of cool. And that means when you get this set, you're getting every DVD feature that's ever been done.
Even the ones on television that we had been lovingly watching.
Yeah, there's like, those are included among the extras on the previous releases. So if it's been on a previous disc, it's here too. You do get an exclusive bonus disc, which has, it's kind of light and fluffy material. There's like the top Brit list, and there's another special who's name escapes me, but the one I really liked, it was Doctor Who at the Proms, and it's this musical, like, it's like 90 minutes, and it sounds gorgeous in 5-1, and it's all the music by Murray Gold and the London Symphony Orchestra or something, and it's hosted by Karen Gillian, and Matt Smith makes an appearance, and they actually have people dressed up as Silurians, they have Jadoon, they got Cybermen, Daleks coming out, and this little kid gets to pretend he's disarming a psychic bomb with Matt Smith. It's really impressive. It's really, really cool. This is something I actually would have traveled to England myself to go see. And I'm not a big fan of concert DVDs, just because I don't feel it accurately represents the experience. But this is about as close as I'm ever going to get. And I'm okay with that. You also get a comic book from IDW, which is like the Doctor's birthday. And it's the Matt Smith incarnation in the book. It's nothing special, but it's nice to have it. I don't know whether it's exclusive to the set or not. You also get these postcards that feature the artwork of the three current Doctors. And let's talk about the Sonic Screwdriver remote control. This thing can control a lot of things. You can even use it to control, like, Blu-ray players and such.
And it's the 10th Doctor screwdriver.
No, it's the 11th.
The 11th Doctor screwdriver.
Yeah, because it's green, not blue, yeah.
Green, yeah.
Although there is a 10th Doctor one available.
We have that one.
Yes. So this thing, it actually works. It takes a little while to get used to programming it. In fact, I was getting frustrated with it because it is gesture-controlled. But once you get the hang of it, you kind of do feel like the Doctor. It's actually really cool. I'm actually really glad they included that with this set. Like, basically, the reason I would recommend this set is if you do not have any of the previous stuff, or you only have bits and pieces, this is worth it because it's everything in one set. That's including the specials. That's including the exclusive bonus disc. That's the complete Tennant special. Like I said, this is everything new Who. However, I do have some complaints about this set, and I feel bad saying this because the set's so awesome. If you own these on DVD, you've got it here. Or if you own previous season's releases, this is basically late to the game box setting, I call. If you haven't collected it before, this is a great value. If you have, the only reason to get this is really for the bonus disc, and
or if you don't have anything already.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, this is late to the game setting. It's basically for people that don't have a lot, or they might have maybe the first two seasons, which are not available on Blu-ray.
But they will be this year. There are a lot of people out there, though, who try and wait until close to the very end of
a series. Good luck with Doctor Who.
Well, no.
50 years.
Well, yes. But try and wait until there's a good bulk of things up for an awesome set like this to come along, and then it is very worth the money to buy.
I guess it makes sense since we're near the end of Smith's run. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because he regenerates in just a few weeks.
No.
However, another complaint, and this, it's so minor as to be petty, but it has to be stated. The packaging sucks. It's cardboard with a plastic top, which never quite fits right after you take out the Sonic Screwdriver. Mm-hmm. Why was this not a TARDIS? Or why was this not a Stasis Cube? Or something like that. Maybe a Cyberman head. Or maybe put this thing inside of a Dalek. You know how cool that would be? Like, each think of the Breaking Bad money barrel. Mm-hmm. Make that a Dalek and put the thing in there. That I would pay $400 for that. See, that's as cool as the Terminator 2 Skynet edition, which is the endoskeleton head, which was like $600 for essentially what is one movie, but I would seriously buy it because I really want the head. But yeah, seriously though, if you are very late to the game, I think this is really worth it. Especially look around the holidays now, you will find deals. And expect this box set to show up on my holiday gift guide in about 3 weeks' time. So, yeah, moving on.
Moving on to my recent favorite to watch. I was very reluctant to...
I don't want to watch Revolution! I hear it's stupid!
The premise didn't really get me. So, it's Revolution Season 1. And... the premise really didn't grab me whenever it was explained to me. But as soon as I started watching, I really couldn't stop. Because it's the type of thing that keeps you wrapped in and you gotta know what happens. So basically the premise of the show is that it's set 15 years after basically all of the power in the entire world is turned off. And basically, how I can explain it or how I can attribute it to is it basically turns into factions. So you're in a kind of like pre-Civil War where you're in different municipalities and you're controlled by...
warlords and such?
Basically warlords. And you are in these factions... and you do not really associate with any other ones. So basically, the U.S. and Canada split up into different areas. One of the premier ones being the Monroe Militia. And it's the story of a family.
The dad from Twilight.
Yes.
the Charlie Swan.
But totally different than Charlie Swan. But it's the dad... and he plays the uncle. Anyways, it's the story of how they are linked back to how the power went out. And basically, they work for the Department of Defense. And they have a deep connection to this. And it also kind of relates to nanotechnology and being able to cure things like cancer and things like that. So the things that they sacrificed was truly the power for the entire country to save a few people in what they were doing. I'm explaining this really poorly, but it's so, so good that I went and started watching the second season as soon as I was done the first one. Now, this series isn't completely packed with extras, but it's also the first season.
Is there enough extras there to... is there over an hour?
No.
See, I'm not sure I like... If you're going to release a television series, I'd like there to be at least an hour's worth of material. I mean, what is included on this?
There are the standards of deleted scenes, gag reel, a creation of. And they're also included some webisodes that are produced by NBC. And they're 5 webisodes of 1 minute each. And an in-depth look at the pilot. So there really isn't a ton of things.
See, I'm really sad there's no commentary. For something like this, I'd love to have people who study alternate history or people who are those futurists or stuff like that, people who do talk about, hey, what if happens? Actually, would you like to know a little piece of doomsday stuff?
Ooh.
Do you know what gray goo is?
No.
Gray goo is what they think might happen if self-replicating machines, or nanites, go out of control and start consuming everything around them. It is actually considered to be a legitimate threat, and there actually is a protocol in place if it ever happens.
Hmm. Interesting.
So instead of nanites taking the power away, which I... See, I'm on the borderline of thinking that's cool and really stupid. However, I watch Star Trek.
Well, it's truly what people are thinking there. The people who have watched it either think it is horrible or the best thing that they've ever seen.
So it's very polarizing.
Very much so. And I'm truthfully kind of worried that it won't get picked up again. I have the habit of getting into something and then it gets taken away. That it just doesn't do well and it's done. And I'm really hoping that if it's not able to continue, that truly things are wrapped up neatly.
I can hope. I mean, then again, it might be kind of like the show Jericho, where even if it does get canceled, fan support may bring it back. Or, hey, maybe even Netflix would pick it up if it doesn't make it to season 3. So, I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Now, this is something I know you have no way in hell of talking about.
Again, we're talking about my favorite!
Yes, we are looking at Paramount's Star Trek, The Next Generation, Season 5. This is where the show was striding along, going, man, we are walking on goddamn sunshine. This season was awesome. It actually has one of my favorite episodes in it. And the episode that I love, it features Picard. And I think the episode is called Inner Light, I think. I don't know. It's the episode where Picard has to communicate with the alien who only speaks metaphors. Where you hear that Darmok at Tanagra when the walls fell. And Picard is trying to figure out, how the hell do I say we need to get the frig out of here? And it's them trying to communicate. And I remember the alien, like, with eyes he sees. And it's just, it's an incredible piece of media that gets shown in a lot of communications classes to show we don't need words necessarily to communicate.
Well, it's like speaking in code, but being able to understand, or writing with letters and numbers that look similar to letters, mm-hmm. and still being your brain still being able to read them.
Yeah, like it was just one of those things that I absolutely love. Another good episode, they actually had two really good Wesley Crusher episodes in this season. The First Duty, where you actually really get to see what Will Wheaton can do, and really the character isn't negligible to, hey guys, I saved the day again. You also get to see the two-parter, one of which aired after Gene Roddenberry's death, and that's Unification, where they brought back Spock to try and settle the Vulcan-Romulan problem, which never really does ever get resolved until, I guess, Romulus kind of blows up in the new movies. But it's interesting, though. They also have another favorite episode of mine called I, Borg, which is about Hugh, and where Picard has the chance to destroy the entire Borg collective by sending him back with a virus, but Picard doesn't want to commit genocide against an entire race. So kind of like how the Doctor could have killed the first Dalek with Davros and all them before, you know, or not the first, I think it was like the third. Anyway, not important. But it's that moral dilemma. Do I have the right to arbitrarily exterminate these people? Sure, they're terrible, but they are people just the same. Once again, great special features on this. There are deleted scenes. There's the whole, like, they always have this in conversation with, and it's always over an hour long, and they always have some reason Seth MacFarlane in on a lot of these. I know he's like a huge guy. I also have stuff on remembering Star Trek, and that's over like an hour. Just suffice to say, if you've liked the season releases up to this point, you're not going to complain. It's a seriously good release. Now, there is a separate disc release for Unification, which I will be taking a look on that on Future Imperfect probably next week or the week after. That'll be our final Future Imperfect for the year. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. So, I can honestly recommend Star Trek The Next Generation Season 5. We're only 2 seasons out from finishing the entire series, and Paramount has not dropped the ball on these things yet. So, I'm really impressed.
Next on the list is actually something that I kind of popped in and out of watching with you, and it's Camp Crystal Lake Memories from 1428 Films.
This is the documentary, if you can't guess by the title. It's about the Friday the 13th series, all the way from the original Friday the 13th all the way to the end of the 2009 reboot, which was crap, which they're rebooting again, if you can believe that.
This made me kind of want to watch all of them with you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think by watching the documentary, especially with you, you get to appreciate them more on a different level. I mean, they're not just blood and gore.
Well, that yeah, they are. Didn't we watch it in the hotel room at Canterlot?
Yeah. We actually watched, like, a couple of these because I actually got sick the one night. But yeah, we were watching this, and what it is, it's a documentary that's 400 minutes long. I'd like you to do the math on that.
Which is amazing.
And you would hold, you would sit there easily for 40 minutes at a time, just popping in and out from doing the dishes or something like that. And it's cool because the guys that produced this, 1428 Films, Danny Hudson and Daniel Farrens, I think, are the names. Guys, if I'm getting your names wrong, I'm sorry. These guys did the Nightmare on Elm Street Never Sleep Again documentary from, I think, about a year or two ago. We actually interviewed them here on This Week in Geek. They also did His Name is Jason, which was hosted by Tom Savini, which wasn't as long or nowhere near as in-depth as this. Fun fact, Corey Feldman opens and closes this. He's also the narrator for this. Well, he was Tommy in 4 and the first 5 minutes of 5, and the same character comes back in number 6, though played by Thaw Matthews. But seriously, it's so long, but you're never bored.
It shows all those little intricacies and little behind the scenes stuff that is so interesting, especially to an Uber fan like you.
Yeah, like I didn't know Friday the 13th Part 7 was nicknamed Fry Gay the 13th, because evidently a lot of the cast were gays and lesbians. I'm like, really? I never knew that. Or how number 5 gets ragged on because it wasn't really Jason as the killer. It was a copycat killer. But then Tommy Jarvis goes nuts anyways. Another thing, like, you didn't know this, that there were multiple Jasons, sometimes even per movie. Mm-hmm. And where they showed the one scene where they had the refilm, Friday the 13th, one of the girls gets thrown out of a window. She wasn't available that day, so they had to have a stuntman do it. You see these really manly legs get thrown out under this really skimpy nightgown. And you're like, that's not right. I'm like, no, it's not. And yeah, you just learn all these little things and how the executive producer was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And then other people's involvements, people who rewrote things. It's incredibly fascinating. And honestly, I recommend it for anybody who's a horror fan genre. Or just anybody who likes documentaries. Because like I said, you're never bored.
We like to learn things, we do.
We do is around here. And that's the thing, though. I mean, if you ever want to get me anything, get me a documentary. In fact, if you look at my like Netflix, when somebody who's using it doesn't use their own profile, it's usually documentaries and like Doctor Who. So, yeah, I can totally recommend Camp Crystal Lake Memories. There is a special edition out there. There's like a bonus disc if you pre-ordered. I'm still looking for it. I did buy it from like Amazon, and it's, like I said, it's ridiculously good. It's like under $30. Totally worth your time. And it's something, it's nice to have a reference. If I ever do a Friday the 13th show again here on This Week in Geek, this will be an invaluable resource.
And now, last but not least, the thing that divided the nerds from each other this past summer. Man of Steel.
Well, we don't even need to tell you the plot of this movie. It's the origin story. Again. For the
billionth time.
Yeah, for the billionth time. Although, no Lex Luthor this time. But General Zod. Which was portrayed by actor Michael Shannon. Which, in fact, there's a wonderful review over at the website that I work with, thatguywiththeglasses.com, between Angry Joe and Doug, that can do the movie more justice than anything I could possibly think of. But here are our thoughts. The movie itself it's okay. Basically, it's Superman trying to find himself, being the darker Superman, living with the consequences of knowing he's the last son of Krypton and all that. And the controversial scene, and you know what, I'm just going to... You've had since June to see this.
Spoilers!
Superman snaps Zod's neck, and then, obviously, he's now truly alone. There's nobody who can use the Kryptonian technology to bring them back, because Zod deleted Jor-El and all this stuff. It's weird. It's Zack Snyder. But it's an entertaining movie for the most part, but there are some very noticeable flaws in it. If you want a really good example of this, go watch the CinemaSins on this on YouTube. Everything wrong with Man of Steel in 8 minutes or less. But that being said, this is the movie the franchise needs. Superman has been one of the hardest characters to get right, to get people excited. I mean, how do you make a movie about a guy who's invincible interesting?
Well, it's why they have a different actor play him every single time, because people seem to be never impressed with how he's portrayed. But I did quite enjoy the actor who played him this time.
Henry Cavill, I think it is his name.
Isn't he English?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I did like Michael Shannon as Zod, simply because he goes from being, I don't care whether I'm here, to hyper overacting like Malcolm McDowell. My favorite being, he's yelling at Russell Crowe, a.k.a. Jor-El, and he's like, I will find him. And then it finally culminates in, I will find him! And you have to make this face. You have to. You have to curl up the one side of your face to emphasize that.
Sometimes,
this indignant look.
This summer, it became kind of a little meme between Michael and I that I would sit in the bedroom and be watching something, and he would be in the other room, and I'd be yelling to him, I will find him!
It's so ridiculous, and that's the one thing people remember from this movie, is I will find him, space dongs, which, in the beginning of the movie, to being sent into the Phantom Zone, they send you up in a space penis to the Phantom Zone.
Well, it looks so similar between that and
the Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid penis scandal. So
thanks, Doug, for pointing that one out.
Well, no, it's exactly what I said when we were in the theater. I'm like, those look like friggin' penises.
Yeah. Now, to tell about some really positive things about this, the action in this movie looks pretty awesome. In fact, this is what the Dragon Ball movie should have been in terms of the hyperkinetic fight blowing through buildings. Basically, this was Goku and Vegeta kicking the shit out of each other for like 20 minutes. Admittedly, that was really cool. That was destruction porn on a Roland Emmerich level. That was awesome. To speak about some of the special features for this, surprisingly in-depth, actually, you get The one that I really like is called Journey of Discovery, and that's Creative Man of Steel. It's like sort of like the making of, and it's like a side-by-side doc that goes with it. There's another one that I couldn't figure out how to put it in my own words, so I had to look at a review on IGN. They said it's built like a History Channel special, and it's called Planet Krypton. I like that approach. That's really neat. It reminds me very much of the whole thing they did with the Watchmen set, where they had the piece we're talking with the original Night Owl, Hollis Mason, and doing the Are Superheroes Necessary sort of thing. So there's a lot of special features. There's something like 4 hours.
Well,
like,
and there's also one that has kind of a behind the scenes from the cast and crew and stunt persons and just... It's kind of interesting to see all the background kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that seems completely out of place is, like, they put in a Hobbit special feature. I don't know why. It would have been neat had they put something from Dark Knight Rises, but...
I guess cross-promotion?
Well, yeah, I mean, they want to get people excited for the Desolation of Smog, next month, so, I don't know. I mean, overall, it's a pretty solid Blu-ray. I would recommend picking it up, because I find with multiple viewings of Man of Steel, it grows on you. And Angry Joe and Doug kind of summed it up best with, to a true Superman movie, or sorry, to a true Superman fan, rather, it's up to interpretation that this is the new Superman. This is something that has weight and has consequences. Whereas to the casual film goer, it can be something else. And we just have to be okay with that. And it's like, this is the movie the franchise needs to grab hold of this generation. You show a 14-year-old kid the original Christopher Reeve Superman movie, I guarantee you they're not going to be impressed. You show them this, they're going to be, that's cool. Zod is cool. Jor-El is cool. They're going to get it. And as much as what you think of the Superman snapping Zod's neck scene, I'm really curious to see how that plays out in Batman versus Superman in like a year or two with like Ben Affleck as Batman and Henry Cavill as Superman. So as a franchise starter, it's what we need, but it's not the movie we deserve, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hate us, so feedback at thisweekingeek.net. That was completely unplanned.
What a great way to end the show.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's our holiday gift, or not a holiday gift guide. That's some of our picks for what you should be looking out for. Now, we are going to have a holiday gift guide, which will include toys, video games, movies, electronics.
Ponies,
and God knows what else. Hopefully from the majority of the Twig crew. And look for that around, probably around the 12th, or at the very latest, the following Monday. So be on the lookout for that. Also, be sure to be checking out thesewarriorsareterrible.com, where we will have a Doctor Who Christmas special, if I can get my damn crew together. So I'm really hoping, because I've already advertised it. So anyway, be checking out that for sure, guys. So for Review-Rama, I've been the co-host, Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I have been the wifey, Mrs. Birdman, saying goodbye.